It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back to the Gains for Girls podcast. Today's guest is Executive Bruce Blakeman. He is the County Executive of Nassau County in New York, and he has been all over the news recently due to his decisive action to sign an executive order at the end of February last month that would ban males, right, boys, and men from competing against females, girls, and women. Seems simple enough, but as you can imagine, given that he went through with this in a blue state like New York, he's been under some pretty intense scrutiny from the ACLU, from the New York Civil Liberties Union, from the governor, and of course, from Attorney General Letitia James. But I applaud him, as do all other sane Americans who acknowledge that this is merely about fairness and standing up for objective truth, which I can't believe that we have to applaud saying something so basic, but the risk and the threats are real. And I know that it's no easy feat. So I certainly do applaud Executive Bruce Blakeman. Check out our interview here. Welcome to the show. I am so excited to talk to you. I've been so excited to talk to you. So thank you for joining. Bruce, at first it was, you know, this isn't happening here. And then it seemed like it went to, okay, well, it is happening here, but it's on a very small scale and not that many girls are affected. And now it seems to be, okay, well, it is happening. It is more than one instance, but feelings and identity are more important than winning. Or even some people I've seen say, there are no proven physical differences between men and women anyways. But you and I, of course, we both know that that's not true. I can list off probably about 100 examples of this happening in your neck of the woods at all levels. If we're just looking at college, for example, just this past week, I found out about a male rower rowing on the women's team at Ithaca College. Sadie Schreiner has gained national attention recently for becoming the regional meet record holder and now qualifying for NCAA championships at RIT in Rochester, displacing multiple women in the process. So really all of that to say that it is happening, which is why we're so grateful for you and your leadership and willingness to defend not only the opportunities of female athletes, but also the safety. So I kind of just wanted to get your perspective. You know, what was your thought process for signing your executive order, and tell us exactly what it would do?
Well, first of all, let me just say thank you for your advocacy and your courage, Riley, because if it wasn't for you and people like you, women and girls around the country, they would get away with this. This is nothing more than bullying of girls and women. I don't know why biological males who identify themselves as transgender females feel the necessity that they have to compete against girls and women when they're bigger, stronger, and faster, typically. And they're using locker rooms that are supposed to be for girls and women, which creates an unsafe atmosphere and an insecure atmosphere. And there's the element of fairness and a level playing field. Women have been fighting for decades for their rights, for fairness in all things, but especially in sports. And they are protected under the Constitution of the United States. And this is an assault on women and girls. And I felt that it was unfair. I felt that it was a safety issue in my county. And I wanted to be very clear to the leagues and teams in Nassau County that if you advertise yourself or you identify yourself as an all-girls team or all-women's team, that you would not be able to use our facilities here in the county, unless you excluded biological males. And by the way, this is not anti-transgender. We welcome all people of every lifestyle in Nassau County. Transgender biological males have the ability and the permission to compete in all male teams and leagues, or co-ed teams and leagues, or if they want to form a transgender biological male league or team, they're welcome to do so. We're happy to have them. But to compete against women is unfair and it's unsafe.
Boom. I watched your press conference and that was what I noticed, right? Is all you're really doing here is calling for transparency, which I love. I think that's an incredibly effective way and really how a lot of us feel. We just want transparency. If you are advertised as an all women's team, you're only for women. If you want to create a trans team, I guess, or co-ed teams, for example, you don't want to prevent that. Of course not. But calling for transparency, which I think is incredible. And again, very effective messaging. But let me read to you, which I know you've seen this. We saw a statement this past week after your executive order from Letitia James, Attorney General of New York. And the statement says, this executive order is transphobic. It is deeply dangerous. In New York, we have laws that protect our beautifully diverse communities from hate and discrimination of any and every kind. My office is charged with enforcing and upholding those laws, and we stand up to those who violate them and trespass on the rights of marginalized communities. We are reviewing our legal options. I thought your response, just what you just said, like, look, this isn't anti-trans. It really is pro-woman. It's pro-fairness. It's pro-reality. It's pro-common sense. But she uses the phrase of marginalized communities. But do you think someone like Letitia James is forgetting that just 50 short years ago, before 52, I guess, before Title IX was implemented, that women have historically been a marginalized community? And what we're seeing now is males trample on our rights.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Under the Constitution of the United States and all the federal legislation in the last 50 years, women are a protected class. And basically, our Attorney General has a responsibility and obligation to protect women and girls. And we don't think she's living up to her responsibilities. I believe that I have a responsibility and obligation to follow the law and follow the Constitution. And I believe I'm doing so. So I'm being threatened with a lawsuit by or other nefarious things that the Attorney General will do to me in Nassau County if we continue this policy. But I will have a formal written response for the Attorney General this week within the time frame that she set forth in her letter. And it will articulate our position. And I would hope that the Attorney General has an open mind and realizes that basically, according to the Constitution and the law and just common sense, that she would back our executive order and realize there's nothing transphobic about it. You know, it's interesting. People who believe in God know that there is a biological difference between males and females. People who don't believe in God and believe in science, they know too that there's a biological difference between males and females. So it's unanimous. There is a difference between males and females when it comes to physical anatomy and biology. And basically, it's a situation where we recognize that males are bigger, stronger, and faster typically, and that's why we have women in a classification, which is an approved classification. It's a federalized classification, as you said, under Title IX, that allows them to compete fairly amongst each others. And let me say something about these transgender males, these biological males who are transgender females. Shame on you. You're bullying. There are other outlets for you to compete in sports. Shame on you.
Could not agree more. And not to mention, look, I don't want to dilute the complexity of gender dysphoria or what that really entails. But the systems that we have in place and the systems that Letitia James, Attorney General, are advocating for would leave it up to men, opportunistic men, to totally take advantage of these systems, right? What man wouldn't want to have the opportunity to win a national title all while going in the women's locker room in the process? So like you said, this really is a winning issue. Every poll consistently shows it.
Well, it's also an economic issue because it's an economic issue for women and it's a fairness issue for women. So basically, to play in a professional sport or to get a college scholarship. This is something where women, if they compete against each other, it's fair and they both have an equal opportunity to get a college scholarship or to compete on a professional level. But by a biological male injecting themselves onto one of those teams, they're going to take women's scholarships away. They're going to take positions on professional teams away from women. And all of the opportunity, all of the equality, all of the economic gains that women have been making in sports, I think, are in jeopardy.
Totally agree. Your EO, it doesn't require legislative approval, meaning it's in effect now. But like you said, that doesn't mean it can't be legally challenged. And someone like Letitia James, who threatens decisive legal action, is likely to go through with it. As of recently, I saw she was one of, I think, 18 attorney generals to sign on in opposition of the cake shop. I think it's called Masterpiece Cake Shop in Colorado. The owner's decision to deny service and make a cake that would celebrate a male's transition to identifying as a woman. Everyone, of course, has seen how hard she has come after President Trump as well. And you mentioned she has now sent you a cease and desist. But if I'm not mistaken, you were an attorney as well. Are there any legal grounds for her action? Are you nervous with the district court that you're in specifically? And will you abide by her cease and desist?
Well, again, we still have the lawyers working on a formal written response to the attorney general. I think that's the appropriate way to address it so that we are able to set forth and articulate the rationale and reasons for the executive order, which we believe are legal and constitutional. But again, if this ends up in court, then basically a judge will make a determination. And we are a law-abiding county, and I believe in the rule of law. We will abide by what a judge says. Right now, I'm pretty confident that if it comes up to judicial review, that the courts will side with our executive order because we believe that it's constitutional. We actually believe we're supporting the Constitution and the federal laws that are in place.
We have not seen a Title IX case or something of the sort make it all the way to the Supreme Court, which, of course, is unfortunate. Any case of this caliber would have to make it to that level. But I agree in saying that I believe that the Supreme Court would certainly rule in favor of the Constitution and of common sense and truth. So many people act out of fear of not wanting to get sued, like the NCAA, like the IOC, like a lot of these states, even a lot of Republican members of different state legislatures. They don't want to be sued. So why do you think it is that people aren't considering the fact that a lawsuit can certainly both go both ways? For example, right, let's say in the state of New York, outside of your county, there's a girl in middle school or high school, basketball game or volleyball game or hockey game, and she's seriously injured by a man. In this scenario, would she not have every right to sue? Because it doesn't seem people are considering it going this way.
Well, yeah. Listen, it's a two-way street. You can sue or be sued. And the fact of the matter is that people have rights. When I took office as county executive, you know, we're a large county. We're larger than 10 states in population. We have almost 1.5 million people. We're an economic powerhouse. Our gross domestic product is larger than 144 nations in the United Nations. So when we stand up for something, it means something. And when I raised my hand and put my hand on the Bible and swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States, I took that oath seriously. And I believe that what I'm doing is constitutional, and I believe what the other side is doing is unconstitutional and illegal under federal law. So again, this may have to play out in the courts. Hey, I wish Letitia James would give me a call today and say, let's sit down and work this out and see if we can come up with something reasonable. But to call me a transphobic when that's completely false, to say that this is something that we're doing to support some national political agenda. I've heard from more Democrats in the last couple of weeks in support of what we're doing here than I've ever heard on any subject. If you are a woman, if you're a mom, if you're a dad, this is something that's near and dear to you. And it's, again, it's common sense. What they're trying to do on the other side of this issue is just bizarre.
Totally. And I agree. There has been a ton of support and encouragement and gratitude from people who would consider themselves lifelong liberals, who probably voted for people like your governor or for President Biden. Why do you think that others in your same position who feel the same way that you do, and I do, why do you feel these people are silent?
Well, unfortunately, I think there's a tremendous lack of courage in this country because the folks on the other side of the political equation that are pushing a far left, progressive, socialist, woke agenda are vicious. They're nasty people. They don't want to have civil discourse and debate on public policy. They just want to destroy people. And you know what? I didn't take this job to play it safe. I took this job to do the right thing, uphold the Constitution, make sure that our laws are adhered to, and to protect people who were vulnerable. And if they're going to attack me for that, so be it. I'll be more than happy to deal with whatever consequences may come down the road, because I think I'm doing the right thing. I sleep very well at night.
That's called having a backbone and a moral compass, which you're right, is something that is certainly lacking in this nation. Really, I would say globally. What's next for you, and how can we help support you and what you're doing?
Well, we'll have to see how this plays out. I'm hoping to get a draft of our written response from our lawyers within the next day. Maybe it'll take 2 days. I think we have till Friday to respond to the Attorney General. And again, I think we need to put forth a well-reasoned, articulate legal argument for what we did. And I believe that we do have that argument. And we want to make sure that we are very clear in our message that this is to protect women and girls and to protect women's sports and women's athletics, and that this is not anything that is transphobic or anti-transgender. You know, again, in Nassau County, we love all people of all lifestyles. I don't want to get into people's personal business, but it's those bullies that are making it a public business right now. And if I think they're wrong, I'm going to stand up. I don't like bullies, and I think this is bullying of women and girls, and I'm not going to stand on the sidelines and be silent.
I think bullies is a perfect way to describe this. We will certainly help amplify your response when it is made public. Again, we could not be more grateful for you and your team and your leadership, especially in the environment to which you're in New York, in one of the largest counties. It's incredibly commendable. So we're very grateful for you, and thank you for coming on the show.
And thank you, Riley, for all you're doing. It really means a lot. The girls and the women I talk to they're behind you 1,000%. You are a true role model. Thank you.
It is not anti-trans to be pro-woman. And if that's really the logic, then wouldn't being pro-trans inherently be anti-woman? Could not be more grateful for Bruce Blakeman and his leadership and his courage. Make sure you follow along what he's doing. Amplify his message when and where you can, because again, he's under some pretty intense and fierce attacks. Check out my sweatshirt. I am wearing Unitas, again, Jonathan Isaac's athleisure brand. You can check it out at weareunitas.com. Thank you guys for joining, tuning in. Make sure you like and subscribe and comment anywhere where you get your podcast. Make sure to check us out at outkick.com. And we will see you again next week.